the meantime, 23-7, back to the Treasury report that lays bare just how ruinous the Ardern, Hipkins, Robertson campaign of spending was. During their last years in office, they overcooked the books, ignored official advice, and here we are still trying to rectify the mess. Total spend was $66 billion, the second largest fiscal intervention in the world, over 20% of GDP. Dr. Eric Crampton is the chief economist at the New Zealand Initiative and is back with us. Eric, morning.
Good morning.
I think most of us have probably worked this out, but this is proof positive of what a mess it was, isn't it?
Yeah, about half of the spending during the COVID period really was not well targeted towards anything having to do with COVID. It was largely wasted. There were warnings at the time. Treasury could have been more forthright at the time about those warnings. The document now is great. They're putting up all of the problems that we had at the time. If we go back in time a little bit, in 2021, Treasury was saying pretty publicly that fiscal policy was wonderful, that it should be included in responses. They seemed to have forgotten the difficulty of scaling these things back. It's great that they're remembering it now. I hope that we remember it in future. The one really useful recommendation in there is for an independent fiscal institution. So this is something that the initiative has been arguing for some time, and Treasury quietly makes the case for in this piece as well, where they note that Treasury's job isn't just doing forecasts and a little bit of public comms around it. It's also to be a trusted advisor to the Minister of Finance. So if the Minister of Finance is doing something really dumb, it is hard for Treasury to tell everybody that the Minister of Finance is doing something really dumb, because they have to maintain trust with the minister. That means that we can't look to them for the clear warnings that we need for democratic accountability. You need to have a different agency in that role advising Parliament and the public more broadly when things are going wrong.
Who do you think's ultimately blamed? Because one of the great criticisms at the time was they spent, Labor spent 9 years in opposition on their hands, didn't have a plan for government, then panicked and relied on officials too much. So where does the blame lie?
The list of things that Treasury puts up as the misguided spending, those look like political initiatives rather than things that were coming out from the bureaus. There was no, if we think about the shovel-ready jobs program, or shovel-ready infrastructure program, if this had been something that the bureaucracy had been sort of cooking up forever, they would have had a list ready of things to go. That clearly wasn't the case. Instead, it was politically driven that we needed to get money out the door, and there's sort of whip rounds around town trying to figure out how to spend it. Yeah. So that's not the best way of approaching things. And Treasury says, well, maybe we should be devoting this sort of thing to maintenance if we're going to be doing it in the next crisis. Some bits did come from officials. The wage subsidy scheme, the first round through, it's hard to fault anybody for the response up through even late 2020. They were doing the best that they could in remarkable situation. They failed then to progress afterwards, and that'll be a mix of blame between the political officials and the bureaucracy, that they didn't come up with something better than lockdowns and wage subsidies come the next one.
And the great question is, going forward, and we'll probably never answer it, would a lesson like this be learned, and therefore, or would it depend purely on what sort of government you have at the time? Appreciate your time, Dr. Eric Crampton, Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative, by the way.